We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We will get to that, Doug, but I'm still in a little bit of a state of shock right now. 1 hour after the news breaks that the Browns signed Kareem Hunt. I don't know if you've heard the show at all in the first hour. I'm really disappointed in this move. I understand from a football perspective, it gives them the best 1-2 punch in the NFL. But it's a bit of a bummer. I mean, you know, there's three incidents total. The guy's being investigated. The other two don't involve women. What's your reaction to this news, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, you can't be surprised when these things happen in the NFL. I'm writing about it right now for Cleveland.com. And the thing is, I think it's going to be really difficult, right, for Browns fans. Because we can't control Kareem Hunt. We can't control John Dorsey. So it's just as a fan, you have to figure out where you come down on this. I think the hardest thing for fans is if he's good, if he helps them win, right? Because if he washes out or if he makes another mistake and they cut him, it's like, well, you know, we tried, no harm, no foul. Or if he doesn't really that good, it's like, well, he's kind of there in the background. But, like, if you win, we think this team's going to win, right? If you win because Kareem Hunt's helping you win and it's like, oh, you know, thank goodness we signed that guy who kicked a woman in the hallway. We're lucky that he got released by his other team because now he helped us win. That's harder, I think. Like now, that's tougher to stomach that you're sort of profiting as a team off a guy who made a terrible mistake. And, you know, probably Kareem Hunt does deserve a second chance. It's just a matter of did the Browns have to give it to him. And, man, if they're in the Super Bowl with Kareem Hunt scoring touchdowns, people are going to be talking about this, and that's going to be hard.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think that they're going to take a PR hit for this right now. But again, the second the football season rolls around, he's cleared to play.
But it will keep coming up.
Yeah. It will. I mean, it comes up with Tyreek Hill, doesn't it, from time to time? But
there's no video with Tyreek Hill.
But there's a very detailed description of what he did.
Yep.
And the detailed description of what he did to his pregnant girlfriend.
Right.
Seems a lot worse in this video, if you could even stomach that. But it's bad. But, I mean, listen, people watch Tyreek Hill. Oh, my God, the cheetah. This guy's so fast. He's the best player in football.
Right.
And people aren't talking about it. So I don't know. I don't know when it goes away, if it ever goes away, or if it'll just start to die down. But again, I mean, I think Dorsey shows that he doesn't care. And he's sticking his neck out there for this guy. And I said to Bull, Doug, I think that part of Dorsey here just believes that he drafted him. And if anybody's going to save him or give him a second chance, it's going to be him.
And I just talked to an expert on this, and I do think, you know, there is a rational explanation that I don't know that we're in a one-strike world, right? That with things like this, are we in a one-strike situation where if you do this, you're done. You never get another shot. And obviously, it's all terrible, but there are varying degrees to things.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get a second chance, then I do think it's important to make sure that he's gone through counseling. He's getting things to help him understand you can't do this, control your anger. He's getting that right kind of stuff. The Browns have to give him the right support. They have to demand certain things of him. They have to have a zero tolerance policy.
Yep. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, if you ask a lot of people in the world, do you believe in second chances? It's an easy thing to throw out when you have a talented guy. But then you have to hold the people accountable. Okay, you get a second chance, but you have to do these other things. You don't just say, okay, here's the ball. This is your second chance. You have to earn your second chance. Mm-hmm. And so I think Hunt has to prove that. The Browns have to prove that. And I do think on some level we can all try to hold them accountable on that.
Yeah, no doubt. And when I hear, you know, people say, well, the Browns did their due diligence and they believe – there's no due diligence you could do, Doug, to know whether a guy's going to ever hit a woman again. Nothing. There's nothing the Browns could do. There's no investigation they could do. You don't know what's inside a guy's heart, what's inside a guy's head. There's no way they can guarantee that he's never going to do this again. But what they have to guarantee is that if something happens again, as you said, there's zero tolerance and he's got to be gone.
And I do think it's a different situation. I think Kansas City had to do what the Chiefs did, right? He lied about the situation.
Yep.
It happened on their watch. You're done. Now, if you come to the Browns, okay, you haven't had a misstep with us, We're going to give you support. We're going to hold you accountable. We're going to make sure you have this help. And now you have zero tolerance with us. You make a mistake, you're done. Then maybe else someone else will give you a chance. But I do think there is a distinction between the Chiefs had to do what they had to do, but maybe there's room for the Browns, if they do it the right way, to give somebody another shot on this. But again, if everybody does it the right way.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how it goes. And listen, I think the sign of a red flag, if I'm the Browns, like, I'm telling him, you can't drink. You got to stay out the bars.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming
home. Especially
he's coming back to his hometown, where the temptation will be as high as ever. And there will be, you know, I mean, the incident happened in Cleveland, for goodness sake.
Right.
So I think that is a huge risk. But again, the second that I see him heading down that path or doing something that we don't want him to do, he's gone. And that's why it's low risk, high reward, I think.
And I do think, you know, there is a difference, and I'm not 100% sure where the Browns fall on this. There's a difference between doing something like this out of desperation. Oh, my God, we'll take talent any way we can get it. We're terrible. We've got to just take every risk in the world. There's that. Then there's the other world of, like, we believe in our structures. We believe in the people in our building. We think we can put enough things around this guy to help him succeed and make sure this doesn't happen again. One is out of desperation. One is out of belief. I think a lot of things the Browns did in the past, if they took a risk like this, was more on the desperation side. Maybe where they are now, with John Dorsey's belief in himself, with the belief they have in Freddie Kitchens, maybe they're more on the other side now, where they say, we know it's a risk, but we're confident in the risk, because maybe we don't know the guy, but we're confident in ourselves. And that's a different way to assume a risk than the other way.
I just wonder, like, it's a weird situation, because obviously he's a tremendous football player, Doug, and like, you could argue they might have two of the top – I don't even know if there's an argument. They have two of the top 10 backs in the NFL, maybe even two of the top five, on the other, which is certainly great. On the other hand, you could argue Nick Chubb was so good as a rookie and has so much potential to be great this year. Why take that risk when you don't necessarily need two great backs?
Yeah, for sure. And then also it's like, well, you know, we'll take all the talent we can get.
Yeah.
So, but I agree with you, Bull. I mean, again, that's the thing here. It doesn't feel like it's not like the Browns had to do this. It's not like there was a gaping hole offensively where you said,
right,
boy, they need to add somebody in the backfield. So I almost think maybe you give them a little bigger benefit of the doubt here because they'll figure it out on the field, but maybe they have a better plan in place, because it's not, we needed this. It's,
right.
I think it's worth it.
And it puts you in a situation unlike, like, the Browns held on to Josh Gordon for so long, because if you got rid of him, what did you have? If they can have zero, they're in a better position, as you said, to have zero tolerance with Kareem Hunt, because you're like, okay, well, we'll just give more carries to Nick Chubb. He's awesome. I've heard some people have said, hey, trade Duke Johnson. First of all, I'm not doing anything with Duke Johnson, even if he doesn't play much initially, because this guy's probably going to be suspended. You got to make sure you can trust him for a while. I wouldn't move on from Duke Johnson. Would you?
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, I think, again, you want to add. You want to add, and they have flexibility to do this. I think this is a bonus, right? This is all a bonus, and it's adding to what you have, not trying to fill a hole or replace anybody. But it's still, just to repeat, nobody thinks this was okay. And if you're a person out there that says this is intolerable, my team should not do this, completely understand that point of view. But the reality is somebody was going to give this guy a shot.
Yes,
you know,
it's true.
Whether you think that should be the case or not, there's what you want to happen. There's the reality. Somebody was going to sign this guy, and maybe the Browns think they can do it right.
How many games do you think he gets?
Boy, I don't know enough about it, but I mean, like, I don't
like
know.
Like 3 to 5 or 6?
Could he get half a season? Like, could he get 6 or 8? I don't know.
I'm guessing at least 4.
Yeah.
That's where I think the conversation starts.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, if the NFL in these situations, knowing how it's perceived, wants to err on the side of lowering the boom, maybe they go a little more. But, I think it certainly will be significant, I think.
Doug Lamorese is with us, Cleveland.com. Doug, let's talk about your 5-part series on Freddie Kitchens. I know you traveled to Alabama to get a feel for the man who was the new head coach, a guy who 6 months ago, 8 months ago, probably most of us never heard of, And then the meteoric rise from offensive coordinator, where he does a great job, to now the head coach of the Browns. So what are some of the takeaways you got from your visit to Alabama about Freddie Kitchens?
So I did, after I was down there for about 3.5 days, and then I did talk to Freddie for about an hour after I got back. And so I got all the stories I got down there. I sort of ran past him, and we talked about a lot of things. But I didn't know Freddie Kitchens at all before this. And I will say, after having gone down there, I sort of feel like I know him now. And so the thing that I think feels true to me is that we're all shaped by our communities. We're all shaped by our families. But there is something, I think, inside Freddie Kitchens, built by his father, which is what I wrote about today, built by his community, which is what I'll write about Wednesday, that I think he carries with him to a greater degree than a lot of us do, that he is absolutely a product of Big Freddie Kitchens and absolutely a product of Atala and Gadsden, Alabama. And the thing that I think is interesting is that a lot of that, what made him who he is, feels like a really good fit in Northeast Ohio. That Alabama and Ohio are a long way apart, but the people that I talked to down there, you could have picked them up and dropped them in Cleveland, and they would feel very at home here. And I think that's why Freddie Kitchens very quickly feels very at home here.
Where does his attitude, his don't give a bleep mentality, come from?
Yeah, 100% his dad, which is just his everybody in that town. And it's not a little one-stoplight town by any means. It's a metropolitan area. And everybody knew his dad. And everybody, it's like everybody says, you loved him or you hated him. But if you were his friend, he was the most loyal friend you could have. But he also would tell it to you straight, and he didn't care if you liked it or not. So that idea of I am who I am, take it or leave it, that is 100% of a product of his father, who the people down there, they just, everybody has a story about him, and they light up when they tell it, and they light up to the idea of his kids just like him.
We're talking with Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com. We're talking about Kareem Hunt. Obviously, now we're talking about Freddie Kitchens. The relationship between Freddie and Baker, Doug, they seem like similar guys. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And I'm going to, that's sort of how I'm going to wrap this thing up with part five next week, is that there is some, so all these things happened in his life, right? With his family, his community, his high school career, his college career for Freddie. And then it all leads to this point where, man, if you had an initial impression that Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield seem like they get along pretty well, it feels like every step of the way has built to that, that there is a way that Freddie handles his business. There is a way that Freddie is used to being around a certain kind of person that shoots you straight, that doesn't care what other people think, that has your back no matter what, that'll rile up people, but who cares? I mean, every time people told stories down there, I would think to myself, man, this sounds like Baker Mayfield. So there is I think there is a genuine connection there of, you know, how you look at life and how you handle yourself sort of with the disregard for what anybody thinks, that I think is real for Baker, and I know for a fact is true for Freddie Kitchens.
Everybody check out Doug's columns every day this week, right? Every day this week?
So it's actually going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, then Monday, Wednesday next week to finish it off.
Okay,
cool. A little room to breathe. Yeah.
Very good. That's good. That may space it out a little bit. I like that. Yeah. All right, Doug. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.